Morning, Chair.
Morning, Honorable Sir. How are you?
Oh, well, thank you. Trust you also well.
I know I'm well, thanks. Honorable Horn.
Yes, good morning. Just to put on record an apology on behalf of Honorable Breitenbach, she's unfortunately not available this morning.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Let's also, as Honorable Horn has already started, are there any other apologies? We also have an apology of Honorable Janji. He's attending a Rules Committee meeting starting at the same time. Are there any other apologies? None. Welcome again, members and everybody watching from the virtual platform. We will be dealing with the cannabis bill today. We are really moving towards the end of the bill. We are ably led by Mr. Robertson. Mr. Robertson, can you take us through?
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. Let's see screen. Let me make it a single screen. Okay. Can everybody see the slideshow?
Yes.
I'll start. This is a clause that was inserted, I believe, the evening before our last meeting in the early morning hours. And it is a provision, an enabling provision, that has been introduced in the cannabis bill to facilitate commercialization, at least of the hemp facilities, hemp activities by way of regulations. It's quite an extensive clause or provision. I did redraft some of the provisions. I did indicate most of the amendments. It's only in respect of the proposed clause 10C, the actual empowering provision that I didn't indicate all the amendments, but be that as it may. Okay, the first amendment proposed, that of approved cultivar. Previously, it was just left open to say it's an implant prescribed by regulations. The interim, I did read through the Plant Improvement Act and also the current initiative that there is relating to hemp production. And I was splitting it up in two provisions. The first one is now referring to the Plant Improvement Act. And it quote the provision at the bottom. It's mainly that it must be must be on the environmental list and it must be subject to a denomination and then it can be sold. But obviously I retain paragraph B, that is the previous one, just make provision for certain circumstances where it can and actually affect be prescribed by regulation. And this is by the Minister of Agriculture. I did change the name of the chapter. Previously it was commercial activities in respect of hemp. Now it's renamed as commercial hemp activities. And it's defined here, it's mainly to the effect that it's an authorized activity in respect of anything regarding him as prescribed by regulations. And I will discuss this in more detail when I get to the proposed clause 10b as well as 10c. Concentration of THC, I changed that slightly. First, concentration THC relates to the implant itself, and the THC is in any case something that needs to be prescribed by regulation in respect of the definition of hemp. Current one is mainly similar to the previous one. Just change it slightly to the fact that it relates to THC that must be in the flowering heads and it's dry weight. Second paragraph is paragraph B, and what we deal with here is mainly THC that's already a product, and refer to THC if it's a solid, it's a percentage, the weight. If it's a liquid, mainly the volume of liquid, and it must be calculated in accordance with the method described by regulation. And that is a regulation or empowering provision in clause 10c. Did put in a definition of department. That's mainly relevant in the proposed clause 10b and c, and also put in a definition for the Director General Agriculture. And that's also very relevant, especially in relation to the applications for the issuing of permits. Hemp, the main change here is that I got rid of paragraph C of the previous one. And I also extended it a bit to indicate that it is a plant of the variety cannabis, whether growing or not. So it's a harvested plant per se. And also included any part of such a plant. That will include anything from the roots to the seeds, leaves, stalks, etc. In commercial activities, scrap now, and it's indicated in our definition above of commercial hemp activity. In products, just a small change. It's like previously, what is included here was, amongst others, also the implant itself that has been harvested. I think that's kind of an overkill. So in any case, a product, so it's something that's already derived from cannabis or implant. And it's mainly the same, just add some additional descriptions by virtue of including seeds, fiber, herbs, oil, and CBD. Hemp seeds is redundant. That is as a result of mainly the definition of approved cultivar, the implants or propagating materials, so it's not necessary to define in seeds. Propagating material is defined later, I'll discuss it there. The Medicines and Related Substance Act, I added it here. That's relevant. There's a new clause that's proposed to clarify the relationship between part two of chapter two and medicinal cannabis in terms of the Medicines and the Related Substances Act. So just make ensure that there's absolute clarity and that the Medicines Act has its own process and industrial hemp is something else that's outside the Medicine and Related Substances Act. New definition that is added, that of permit holder. I scrapped it here. I changed it slightly. Previously, I used the terminology license, and you can obtain a license. I scrapped that. Just carry on with the current practices that exist in Delrad, namely that they issue permits. In terms of the Medicines Act, you get a license or a permit or authorization, but let's stick with permit. Plant Improvement Act definition is added here. It's relevant to the first definition. It's also relevant later on where we deal with the specific hemp activities that is authorized. And I do define propagating material here that's relevant to the first definition I discussed, mainly that it's seeds, seedlings, plant material, mainly similar to cannabis cultivating material that is chapter one. New definition is inserted, that of THC. I do refer here only to delta 9 tetrahydrocannabinols. I believe the international standard or how they deal with this is actually by converting THCA back to THC and then specify that the weight in respect of cannabis. But some countries, I think New Zealand is one, still deal with both substances, THCA and THC. Previously, there was a clause 10B that deals commercial activities, but this, I scrapped that in the interim. And so we start again. 10B, commercial hemp activity should be something that's prescribed by the minister, and that's the Minister of Agriculture. It's prescribed similar to a regulation, and he must authorize the activity as well as prescribe it. That's quite catchy. Okay, then I did indicate in the new sub two that if the Minister of Agriculture want to exercise commercial hemp activities by way of a declaration as contemplated in sub one, and it affects the area of responsibility of, amongst others, Minister of Trade and Industry, then the minister must make regulations in consultation with the cabinet member responsible for trade and industry. Obviously, old history and legislation, if there's something that has got a financial implication and it is subordinate legislation, then the minister must make this in consultation with the cabinet member responsible for finance. And the third paragraph C, if the minister wants to declare activities as commercial activities and it involves any other cabinet member or MSC, then we must also make the regulations in consultation with such cabinet member or MEC. I did leave out municipalities. I think that's usually the third structure that's usually involved here. I consider that later on. Then in sub clause 3, specify that the commercial activity may only be undertaken in terms of a permit.
So, sorry, Mr. Roberts, before you move to 3, under C, why are you not specifying that an MEC is responsible for agriculture? Because an MEC in a province is an executive authority also.
That's correct. Can specify it. MEC responsible for agriculture, but ipso facto that if you work with a consultation process, it's usually diverted to a provincial government and they pass it on to the appropriate member. But I'll look at that and also I'll consider municipality as well, maybe. Sorry, I remember that. Okay, so commercial activity can only be conducted in terms of a permit that authorized the permit holder to undertake in accordance with the permit and the regulations. The activities specified in the permit only in respect of approved cultivars. And that's quite relevant to the definition of approved cultivar, which will, if you work it back to all the definitions, amount to a cannabis plant that has got a THC level as prescribed by regulation. And I left it open still, so the Minister of Agriculture can determine it. And it's just indicate that currently what is prescribed is 0.2%.
Sorry, Mr. Roberts, there's a hand, Honorable Yago.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm not sure if maybe I'm finding myself a little bit confused by 10B. So 10B only gives those powers to the minister in terms of 1 and 2. Obviously, except for the part of C. I'm not sure if maybe I'm falling behind or what, but I'm just curious because I know we've had issues with giving certain powers just to the minister, but I just want to understand what this one is it specifically written for the minister and not the rest of cabinet in terms of parliament or in consultation with parliament.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'm done. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I can just maybe explain later on. It's usually not all regulations needs to go back to Parliament. Subordinate legislation, or notices, etc. But I do provide here that if you do whatever thing in respect of a permit or authorize whatever may be authorized, all that regulations must eventually be approved by Parliament. The issuing of a permit per se will take place in terms of these regulations that may be made in terms of 10C. So the permit or anything done in terms of that, or even the ultimate conditions thereof, that will never reach Parliament. If you look at the current list of how many people is cultivating cannabis, it will take a long time to review all that, and my submission is not necessary in this context to actually deal with the permit on a parliamentary level. It's something that's like a license. It's issued almost every day. A clause four that...
sorry, Mr. Robert, Honorable Yako.
No, Chair, I think I just wanted to register that I am covered. If he's talking in terms of just the permit itself, then it makes sense that it's linear, that it goes just to one person, because then they can just handle it administratively. So I think I am covered in terms of that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Yako. You can proceed, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Fourth, subclause four. There's a lot of legislation currently in the statute book that can actually be used to commercialize hemp. Most of them are actually listed here. So just to make sure that it's kind of a double approach, and to ensure that we actually do cover everything. There is a authorizing provision that the minister, and that's the Minister of Agriculture.
Sorry, Mr. Robertson, Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Chair. I just missed, and as I think there's a connection problem my side. I just want Mr. Robertson to repeat, because what, in terms of the Plant Improvement Act, the Minister can and is making regulations regarding commercial hemp, and permits are being issued. So, and I think what you're saying is it's a belts and braces approach. This gives the minister the discretion to make regulations concerning the commercialization of hemp. But my understanding is that it is already taking place in terms of the Plant Improvement Act and those regulations. I just need to understand then, is there a need for these clauses? Is it just in addition? Because I argued for the insertion of these, but I maybe one's just got to consider, maybe it gives clarity in terms of this act, because the Plant Improvement Act does not necessarily, it covers all types of plants. Maybe I can just get a better understanding of that, of the linkage between the Plant Improvement Act and this Empowering Act, and the regulations that are ready in terms of the Plant Improvement Act, and where permits are being issued. There's a lengthy process there. There's applications. So I just need your guidance there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Roberts, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Mr. Swart, if I look at current permits that can be issued in terms of Plant Improvement Act and the regulations, it covers basically everything, including the dealing in hemp. My question is, where's the empowering provision that authorizes actually dealing in hemp for industrial purposes? You will not find that in the Plant Improvement Act. In terms of the Plant Improvement Act, what is authorized is that I can distribute plants, cultivate plants, seeds, and propagating material for propagation purposes only. My submission is the regulations that has been issued is actually ultraviolet. It's not just me, I think, so a lot of lawyers do as well. But insofar as it relates to something like propagating material, it's fully covered, no problem. The belt and braces approach here is just by including the Plant Improvement Act by way of reference. I think that's problematic. We may declare it applicable. I also do provide in the definition amongst others, the first definition, that a regulation may be issued in conjunction with that. There's other provisions in the Plant Improvement Act that is not currently covered in terms of the initiative by DELRED to issue current hemp licenses. Just make sure that if a need comes, that the Plant Improvement Act can in any case be used in addition to the current provisions that relates to basically the propagation of hemp for propagation material.
Thank you.
I'm covered. Thank you, Chair. No, I am covered. I do presume there were consultations as well with the Agriculture Department, but I am covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's proceed, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Jefferson. I can probably just, in short, just discuss the other legislation that I do refer to. So amongst others, the Fertilizer Pharmacies, etc. Act. I don't think cannabis currently prescribed or included or subject to that. And my submission is that farm feed includes hemp. It can actually be used as hemp, and there's also a reference to, I believe, stock remedies, which may include cannabis or hemp. But okay, one can argue that Medicines Act is probably applicable in any case. The Agricultural Research Act is obviously very important. That can be used to implement hemp research in South Africa. Agriculture Product Standards Act is very important. You can actually ensure that the standards. Agriculture Produce Agents Act, my submission is probably not very applicable. Although I look through the hundreds of regulations that were made in terms of that act, and it's like there's a lot of products that are prescribed that is kind of quite similar to cannabis. Another very important act is the Marketing of Agriculture Products Act. It can actually regulate the market. The Foodstuffs and Cosmetics Act is not a legislation that is administered by the Minister of Agriculture, but it applies in general in respect of all foodstuffs and cosmetics. It will de facto apply, but they may declare it applicable, etc. Now, to give effect to everything, the empowering clause. Thing B is to some extent already an empowering clause, but thing C mainly relates to hardcore regulations that can be made to implement everything. Previously, I think I did omit mostly the application for a permit. This is now inserted. Basically provides for the form and manner of the application, provides for inspection of land and building equipment relevant to application. Regulations may be made to prescribe the criteria to be considered in respect of commercial impact activities. It also provides for the issuing of permits for commercial activities. And furthermore, the new clauses that you inserted actually provide for the form, duration, and terms, conditions of any permit, enabling other conditions to be imposed. So regulations can be quite wide in that regard. The remainder of the subparagraphs substantially similar to what was drafted last time. At the end, just included some omissions from my part that relates to, amongst others, the THC content that may be prescribed. Also provides for that method of calculating the concentration of THC in terms of the new definition of THC. So that is basically same as the previous one. Previously it was sub-clause 2 and 3. Just changed it back to 2 and 3, and I did change something else. It's like previously just led to a fine or to imprisonment of 12 months. If you calculate it in accordance with the Adjustment of Fines Act, it will be 40,000 rand for 12 months. I changed that. Make it 100,000 rand. This is usually quite big industries. It's legal personas. So your punitive imprisonment is actually worthless. So check it up to a fine of 100,000 rand. You can never send, well, you can rarely send a legal persona to prison. A new clause that is inserted is basically this. I think I did discuss it previously to clarify the operation of Part 2 vis-a-vis the Medicines Control Act. Do clearly stipulate that Part 2 of this chapter does not apply to any activity in respect of cannabis that is regulated in terms of the Medicines and the Related Substances Control Act. There is medicines permits are actually being issued on a daily basis for the cultivation and the manufacture of THC and CBD. So this is just to make it absolutely clear. Medicine is on its own and industrial hemp is on its own. Second one is basically just kind of definitions that describes activity and that is mainly what you can perform in terms of the Medicines Act. You can cultivate, manufacture, import, export, acting as a wholesaler, or conduct research. And that must be authorized in terms of the permit of law or license or authorization in terms of the Medicines Act. Second one is mainly cannabis, which has got extended meaning here. It's the plant, everything in a plant, everything derived from it, and any medicine containing cannabis, meaning it's anything, yeah. Mr. Tibbetson, that's basically the only thing that I present is new. We previously did go to the bill, and she gave me, I think, leave till the 29th. But I should be ready by Tuesday with the A list and a B list as well. So that concludes it for today. Thank you.
The chairperson is lost. Maybe load shedding. It could be load shedding, Honorable.
Can I quickly call the chair or come back to the committee?
Yes, please.
Can I stop shedding or is there going to be questions?
I think there will be some questions that hang on. Thanks. Just let's wait for the chair.
Sorry, I was out. Honorable Swart?
No, thank you. And I really want to appreciate Mr. Roberts' hard work with these clauses at a very late stage. I just wanted to understand the penalty clause, 100,000 or 12 months imprisonment. Mr. Roberts refers to financial institutions, but my understanding is this will also apply to individuals. And what the linkage is between penalties in terms of the Plant Improvement Act, which has similar regulations, whether they link. And then, as I understand it, the guidelines all refer to that limit of 0.2%, the existing guidelines, and of course, these regulations as well. We've debated that in the past. I do understand that as well, that limitation. The third issue is the medicines linkage with the Medicines Act. So my understanding is if it's above 0.2%, then it would fall under the Medicines Act. Is that correct? That understanding? Because if you look at the guidelines in terms of the Plant Improvement Act, it makes it very clear in the scope that anything above that. And I'm just trying to understand the linkages between the different pieces of legislation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart. Mr. Robertson.
Sorry, I got also kind of a blackout on my side. Let's start with the last one. This is the Medicines Act, in Schedule 6. The percentage that's described there is extremely low. It's something like everything above 0.01% for human consumption. If it's THC, or plant material will be regulated in terms of the Medicines Act, and if it's for basically industrial use or other activities, if I remember correctly, it's 0.02%. Like indicated, we must not confuse industrial hemp with medicines, medicinal hemp or cannabis that's currently being cultivated. The standards and the rules that's applicable to that is about 500 times more difficult than the standards that's applied in respect of industrial hemp cultivation. And there's reasons for, I believe the market is mostly overseas, and they've got set extremely high standards. A contravention in terms of the Medicines Act or whatever will be something like up to 10 years, I believe. It does not amount to contravention of the Drugs Act. Mrs. Parkin, just remind me the previous question or questions.
Yes, I just asked about the penalty clause of that has been inserted here, the 100,000 or 12 months. And in your motivation, you said institutions will be involved, companies, but one's also got to bear in mind that individuals might also be involved. And then I asked the linkage between penalties in the proposed penalties and penalties in terms of the Plant Improvement Act, which would be similar. Have you had time to see if there's a similarity between the penalties, or is it relevant at all? Because I'm just wondering where we did express concerns about the penalty provisions in the bill. They have been reduced slightly. Now we've got a new penalty clause here that is applicable. We just need to understand the provision. Maybe just show us that penalty clause again. Is it a fine or imprisonment?
Yeah.
So fine, but I'm just thinking of the amount, and I just wanted to get a motivation for that again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Mr. Taper. So, I believe previously, even the current other part of the bill that actually deal with recreational cannabis, it was scaled down substantially. And what was considered in terms of to reduce it, amongst others, the current fine system that applies in terms of relevant alcohol legislation. I think I did try to bring Chapter 1 more or less in line with the dispensation that applies to alcohol, to criminal dispensation. Mr. Swart, I did look through the Plant Improvement Act quite hastily, but at least the penalties that is provided for, there's something to the effect of, if I remember correctly, it's 12 months or 2 years or a fine. And I don't think there's any specific fine prescribed. My motivation why I increased it to an amount of 100,000 rand is that to a large extent it's mainly businesses that is involved here. If it's a legal personnel, you will probably never send somebody to prison. I think in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, there's a provision that says that you must impose a fine. It's only really exceptional circumstances that you will send the director of the company to imprisonment. So it's mainly to cater for that. I can't remember what's the fines in terms of the alcohol legislation, but it was also quite high. If it's individual that...
Mr. Roberts, don't you think that maybe you should be giving some discretion to the court in respect of fines by saying not exceeding 100,000 rands, as we have done with the imprisonment? Because I think in your mind, yes, because I think in your mind, maybe you might be thinking of medium-sized to big companies. But I think as we start with the commercialization, there might be people who might register PTY LTDs and start trading, but they might not be in a position even to afford a 100,000 rand fine.
Changes, yeah. Mr. Chairperson, it should be fine.
Sorry before, Honorable Jelle.
No, I wanted to say, Chair, you have read my mind. I was just sitting here thinking about it. Thank you very much. I support you not exceeding that because I was thinking of people like yourself
the network is bad.
That it, some people would, you know, that amount.
Hello, Chair. You don't hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
No, it's fine. I was just supporting you, Chair, on that view. I'm saying you have read my mind. And okay. I really support you on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You can proceed, Mr. Dupree. Sorry, Mr. Roberts. I'm thinking about tomorrow now.
Oh, sorry.
But Friday.
Mr. Swart, I can probably not take it further. It's like...
Yes, so Honorable Swart, are you covered now?
Yes,
Chair.
Yes,
if I can come back to... If I can come back again.
Honorable Jelle?
Yes. I think I was also thinking about this. Remember, we are now discussing the issue of our prisoners, Chair, the overload there. I think even this one of 12 months, I'm not sure if maybe I was going to be unreasonable if maybe we can look into that one, because remember, we still have people who still struggle. If they happen to arrest you and you don't even have money, but you are just starting, so is this not going to put a load also on our overcrowding of because it's about commercial, Chair. I'm saying in terms of also the 12 months that we have put that or to imprisonment for a period of not exceeding 12 months. Can't we start 6? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think with maybe let's look at the whole sentencing regime, because I don't think that is the only one. And we look at it because if I remember well, in our engagement with Judge Cameron, that was one of the issues that we were discussing, decongesting prisons, ensuring that we deal leniently with some of the sentences, especially those that relate to what you would deem to be not violent offenses. But I think let's look at under commercialization, is this the only imprisonment regime that is available, Mr., or are you still going to be dealing with other sentences?
Mr. Jefferson, this is just a maximum that's actually prescribed. It may be determined by regulation.
It's up to, yes, not exceeding, yeah. So, Mama Chela, it can be 2 months. It will be up to the court to look at aggravating and the mitigating circumstances to determine the sentence. But it should not exceed 12 months.
No, I'm covered, Chief. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Members, Mr. Robertson, can we proceed?
Jefferson, I think that is the end.
Oh, very good.
Did I miss somebody? No, I think I answered all the questions.
I think so. Members, are we have asked all the questions. Are we fine?
Yes, we're fine. I'm fine.
Thank you very much, Honorable.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And we appreciate the work on this. I've done under a lot of pressure. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, no, I think Mr. Roberts, Mr. Dupree, the committee will recommend that they be given senior counsel status.
Amen.
Yeah, to be called Sarah Roberts SC.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Roberts, what is next?
Stephenson, your A list and B list ready next week sometime. Currently dealing with other constitutional legislation, so I'm actually split between this and surveillance bill, but it will be ready next week. Fine.
Next week. What is the next date available, Committee Secretary? When are we next dealing with candidates? Is it 29th?
Morning, Chair. Yes, Chair, we had the 29th in mind, Chair.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Rose?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Apologies for my for me interrupting at this stage, Chair. Also, apologies if I cough. I have a bit of flu. Chair, I would just like to ask the committee's indulgence to allow us some time to actually look at this. In the previous meeting, there was a commitment that there would be consultation between the department and legal services and Ms. Silkstone. We have not seen these provisions up until this morning when it was presented now. And up until last night, actually, I thought we would only be considering such proposals in the meeting of the 29th. Chair, do you see the fact that, unfortunately, our office is vastly understaffed? I have commitments for the rest of the week with litigation and other legislation as well. If it goes into our A list next week, that I would not be able to have considered this and consulted with Mr. Robertson or even my drafting seniors as I would normally do. So if I could beg the committee's indulgence to please allow us perhaps to give us the period between now and perhaps the first meeting next year to just look through this so that we could do due diligence.
What would be the difference?
Pardon, Chair?
What will you be looking at?
Chair, that's the thing is I only saw this now. I don't know what knock-on effects could be. We have not discussed the implications of this at all. I've literally read through it with the committee now for the first time. So it might be that this is fine, but it might also be that there are certain questions and considerations that we need to discuss with Mr. Roberts. But due to the fact that this was kind of jumped on us, like I said, I only heard of this meeting last night, and I only saw the documents this morning. I have court obligations tomorrow, and other litigation, other legislation as well. So I'm merely asking the committee's indulgence to allow for the consultations that were supposed to happen before this came to the committee to actually take place, so that I can just apply my mind and consult. So that I have some idea of where this fits into the general scheme of the bill, Chair. It's merely in my request that I be granted the opportunity to do due diligence as per the previous mandate. Thank you, Chair.
So I think, if we were to go back to the original plan, That was supposed to be next week anyway, so you should be done by next week on the 29th.
Yes, sir, that would have been the plan, but this version has been delayed. We would have had consultations Monday and Wednesday today, but due to it being flipped around now, my schedule, we have the public protector matters tomorrow that I do the litigation management for. So there are other things that are popped up. The committee meeting taking place today and things having shifted so that Mr. Robertson had to change things and deliver has also impacted on my planning. But yeah, if the committee wants to continue with the A-list, then I just have to put that on record that I did not have the opportunity to consult. On this, I will try my best to be of assistance of the committee to the committee with the information that is currently available to me, Chair. But so ultimately, the decision is up to the committee, but I am just kindly requesting the indulgence of the committee to allow such consultation. Thank you.
Honorable Storch.
Chair, we really appreciate the Parliamentary Legal Services and the fact that they are understaffed. So I would suggest we try to allow the time to see if it can't be done by the 29th. This is a new clause that's come in, and hopefully it could be finalized, but we appreciate the constraints that Dr. Lutz has indicated, but maybe it's possible to still have it finalized with the A-list. I would like to just hear from the committee, are we anticipating finalizing or debating it, which is probably unlikely given that Parliament is rising next week. But I do think we want to finalize the A-list at least. So I just wanted to hear what our plans are in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Swart, Honorable Jelle.
Thank you very much, Chair. And Chairperson, I think we note the concerns that Ms. Goose is indicating or presenting to us. But I would request, I think I would have the same sentiment with my colleague, Chair, that can it be possible that she finds space? You know, sometimes we work until late, particularly on issues of such importance, because this is also putting pressure on the committee. There are other bills that we need to finish. So we had hoped that we are done with this, and it is just moving it like for lack of better words, we are able to concentrate on others. So can we request that Ms. Lutz find it in her own time, her busy schedule, to really assist us if indeed that we finish this or we meet on the 29th and the whole thing be done within the schedule that we have put. We understand the pressure. We understand the issue, because to me she says she is requesting this because this was not given to her before. So she's seeing this for the first time. So, and here in this committee, the changes that she's speaking about. But I thought that maybe she was going to discuss that with the department. It's a internal issue, and then it should not affect us. Let them meet and then find time to close those gaps, and then let's continue with the schedule as the committee, so that we are able to do. There are lots of bills, Chair, that we need to deal with them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jelle. Ms. Silverstone.
I just wanted to also raise my concern about some of that, how these new provisions will fit into the whole scheme of things. So I think that I understand that we want to get to a point where we have a sense of a more final kind of bill, but it's possible that next week we won't be, I mean, from a sort of support staff point of view, we'll still need to basically go through and check the A list and the B list and so on. But I am concerned because there are things, I mean, I had a read through as well this morning, and I have process issues that I'm concerned about. And there's a lot of stuff that needs to go and be checked, and it's quite time consuming. It's not about not finding the time or making space. I mean, we always do that. We always put our parliamentary work first. And it's just that we don't want to have the committee sitting with a bill that's not 100% up to the standards that our committee is known for. So we're just a little concerned from that point of view. But I mean, obviously we will always do what we need to do to try and get the committee where it wants to be.
So what are those process issues?
Chair, before she comes in, sorry, and also the consents, maybe if they can fill us also with the consents. Thank you, Chair. Yes.
Thank you very much. Process issues and the consents?
Well, we need to go back and double check, but we are raising stuff that it may, I mean, the one thing we'd need to double check to see if we're not raising something new that needs the committee to take it back to the House for further, for permission and so on. So that would be one of my concerns. It might not be my biggest, big concern, but that would need to be seen. And then all, I mean, just having a look at all the provisions, making sure that they fit within the scheme of the bill as a whole. So, I mean, one of the issues you raised was around the sentencing. We'd have to look at the sentencing thing, and then is it coherent with the body of the bill, and so on and so forth. So it's not, I don't know if it's big or if it's small, but we haven't really had an opportunity to really go and have a look at the bill as a whole. And see how it is working, whether this actually pushes it into some different space that we need to then intervene and do and deal with. But I don't know. I mean, my concerns may not be valid. This is just my initial thoughts reading through this morning.
Thank you. Honorable Tell, is it a new hand or an old hand?
It's a new hand, Chair. I don't know. Yes, thank you, Chair. With the experience that you have been talking about of Mr. Dupree's and the team, Chair, it really makes me think otherwise now, that can we have really the consensus that can take the team up to next year with this bill, Chair, that can make us to finalize this bill sometimes next year and then give the department, Ms. Luz and the team, an opportunity to look into those concerns. Can it be that serious, Chair, knowing we've been working with Mr. Dupree on this for some time now? Can't they sit down? Yes, can they sit, Mr. Robertson, yes. We have worked with Mr. Robertson because the concerns that they are raising now, they makes one to think that without maybe casting aspersions, Chair, as if we are dealing with somebody who is new in this thing. Well, I'm not saying they should not check all those things. They need to check. Can they sit with him and point those things and deal with them, Chair? And then do those consultations and close this thing, him briefing them. Chair, I'm not sure if maybe you still hear me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yes. Honorable Swart.
Chair, I think I have a sense of sympathy for the committee researchers as well as the parliamentary legal advisors. And I also, because these clauses were came in at a very late stage, I'm mindful as well that many in the cannabis industry have basically rejected the bill and have said they want to meet us in court. So we need to be cautious that all the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, and maybe we need to just give that to give that extra bit of time, and to give that discretion or flexibility to say, is it possible to talk this week? But if not, we need the assurance that everything is in order, given the fact that this matter could be taken back to be tested in court, and given the fact that we as a committee may need to make sure that all our legislation is constitutionally compliant. Now, when you then look at what was certified by the state law advisors, these additional clauses might not have been certified. So I would like to find a way that we have the assurance that they have enough time. And maybe we should just say, well, let's see what happens by the 29th. Come back and tell us, have you been able to do what is required? If not, we need to reassess. Maybe that's the way to approach it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Horn.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I also agree that of course, while we are at the what we see as the end of the process, and that we dearly would want to now start dealing with an A and a B list, that we in the process must not create a situation where to wait a few days to get the proper advice from both the state law advisors and our content advisors as to the complete implications of the introduction of these latter clauses, that we ultimately sit with a product which might expose Parliament to adverse findings, either by courts or when it is then referred to the NCOP specifically, if this is going to be reclassified. And then, of course, all provinces also will have their opportunity. Well, maybe I must not say their opportunity, but their responsibility around this. So I fully agree with the sentiment, Chair, that we return on the 29th, but not at this stage with a firm directive that we want that final advice, but rather, if possible, to get the advice, and if not possible, to then reconsider the matter. I am specifically, after Christine's input, of the view that we should carefully consider when we took this to the House initially to broaden the scope of the bill, whether what is now contained in the bill is properly covered by that resolution. That is my input in respect of the public statements to the effect that this bill is rejected and will be the topic of an attack. Of course, in a constitutional democracy like ours, that's well within the rights of anyone who feels aggrieved by the content of the bill. Our job was also always a difficult one, in the sense that it was strictly informed by a court judgment, which directed Parliament to enable the private use of cannabis lawfully, and then because of pressures, other pressures, social as well as economic pressures, as well as maybe even some political pressure, in the sense that there has been announcements by the government of the day that we are to allow for and enable commercial activities around cannabis. This has taken on a whole new life of its own, and that ultimately must inform us to be very guarded about the final product. And in that sense, I strongly advocate that we give opportunity to those who must advise to also advise us as Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jell. Is that an old hand or a new hand?
Chair, I think it was an old hand, but I was going to request that, I don't know if maybe we can also get some comments from Mr. Dupree, Mr. Robertson, on this. I don't know. Maybe I'm taking it far. Thank you.
Yeah, no, let's do like this. Firstly, let me express my concern that even if you are to argue that the date was brought forward because of the workshop that could not take place, and we still need to explain after this deliberations about the workshop. But what is of concern to me is that today is Wednesday, and not all parties have seen the bill, which means even if we had stuck to the 29th, by today, they would not have met. Not all parties would have seen the bill, so they would not have started. That is the problem. For me, that is the problem. Because when we said that they need to meet, we were not expecting them that they would meet a day before, or we're saying that there should be a meaningful engagement amongst the three of them, that is Dr. Lourdes, Ms. Kristen, Ms. Silkstone, and Mr. Roberts. But now it's Wednesday, they have not met. Now, I think what we need to do, we cannot just give them a blanket extension of next year. It would not be. I think the consensus is that between now and Monday, they must make sure that they do meet. There is a meaningful engagement amongst them. So we will meet on Tuesday, and we will take it from there. But the meeting of Tuesday needs to proceed, because from the committee side, we know that next year there are quite a number of other bills, and it will be the only year that we have, 2024, we don't count that 2024, is an election year. So whatever we need to wrap up as the committee for the term needs to be done next year. Already we have the 12 months that was granted by the Constitutional Court. There are other Constitutional Court judgments. There are other bills that are coming, even the General Laws Amendment Bill. There are protocols that need to be passed. There are oversight issues that need to be done. So, and we still have the Hate Crime, Hate Speech Bill. So even on our side, there is no time. So what I would suggest we do is that this needs to proceed. We meet on Tuesday, but we would not finish as a committee, even if Parliament adjourns, but we would not finish as a committee without adopting the A list, so that we know that when we come back 2023, what would be left would be a feedback from the joint checking mechanism and debating of the bill. So let's impose some time limits to ourselves to ensure that some of these things are done without compromising the quality of the bill and of processes. But next week, let's meet and we assess where we where we will be, but it will be important that there is a meaningful engagement between the committee, parliamentary legal advisors, and the department. Are we in order?
Yes, Chair. Agreed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Stone?
Chair, that's in order. And I just want to say that, you know, that as support staff, we always put the committee first. So, I mean, we obviously will do whatever we need to do to make sure that we can get the committee to where you need it to be. We were just expressing our concern.
Yes. No, that is understood. Thank you very much. We hope that we know that especially the research unit and Dr. Woods, there are other functions that you need to perform. And even Mr. Roberts is not only dealing with one legislation, but let's try and do whatever we can to ensure that at least there is a progress to be reported upon on Tuesday, so that we can be able to, whether it's the second or whether, but we need to vote on the A list so that we know that we are done with this bill. Thank you very much. Any other issue on this bill? None. Two issues on my side. I received a letter that would be circulated from Honorable Engelbert concerning the statements that were made by the department with regard to the issue of the release of the former president. And I would suggest members that since Honorable Janji is still, in fact, is back now until the second, that this letter be referred to the chair of the subcommittee and the subcommittee to process it. Will that be in order? But it will be circulated to members for their consideration. Or for their noting. Will that be in order?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. And then the last issue on my side, members, yesterday and today, we were supposed to have had a workshop, but I was phoned, I think it was on Monday. Yeah, I think it was on Monday or weekend. By Honorable Breitenbach, that the assistant to Professor Mutsing, who is the one who was, compiling a lot of inputs, was beaten severely by a dog, and he could not proceed with the workshop. As a result, Professor Mutsing asked that the workshop be rescheduled to a further date, which will be next year now. That was the reason that we could not have the workshop that is Dr. Something that was supposed to, in fact, that was dealing with a lot of the thematic areas, who was the one who was researching them. And I guess that he was going to make some presentations, so he could not because he was beaten by a dog. Members, that is all from my side. Are there any issues that members want to raise? None. Can we meet on Friday, 9:30? We will be getting a report from the MPA, and then thereafter we will deal with the hate crime, hate speech bill. Thank you very much, members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, Chair.